greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Empty Harvest when we come back. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it. A Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax, and a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. Now, governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms, but what is it that government does to produce, prepare, or deliver, for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, or 72% for a drink? Does the guy at the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on a pizza that they have to buy the ingredients to make, to prepare, to cook, to serve, to pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? Why is it that government gets paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we all buy? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, why don't you go to the website georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about Empty Harvest, the connecting link between the soil and disease. All right, keep in mind now that in the series of programs, we've covered some material, and we've discovered that all disease comes from two sources, poisoning or starvation. You're either nutritionally deficient or you're being poisoned by something, or it could be a combination of the two. We took a look at the poisoning and the starvation in relationship to the Food and Drug Administration. That's the agency that the government sponsors to ensure that the multinational corporations may maintain their monopoly on pharmaceuticals, medicine, and food production and distribution. Now, there is an important element to this thing of nutrition, and it has to do with organically produced foods. And there's quite a controversy among food producers, farmers, scientists, as to whether or not an organic bean is superior to a chemically grown or inorganic bean. Now, by far and away, the winner in this, by popular acclamation, is chemistry and chemicals. No two ways about it. I don't deny that. I don't eat chemical food or chemically prepared food. I'm trying to be very careful about eating organic and organically produced foods. But in order for us to come to a conclusion, we should look into the controversy and then use a little reason, logic, and common sense, and then you can make a more informed decision as to whether you want to continue. And I say continue because everybody eats chemical food. It's everywhere. Now we have a second factor that comes into the organic versus chemical, and that's genetically modified organisms. That's a third category of polluted or adulterated food. We'll talk about that a little later. Let's take a look at infection-fighting vitamins from the book Empty Harvest, written by Dr. Bernard Jensen and Mark Anderson. You can get a copy of the book, in all probability, from Barnes & Noble. It's $14.50 is what I paid for this, and it comes from Acres USA, their conference. Two sources, Acres in their book section, or you can get it from, in all probability, Barnes & Noble. Let's take a look at infection-fighting vitamins. The first vitamin ever discovered was vitamin A, and it was also the first vitamin reported to possess, among other attributes, an anti-infective capability. The authoritative textbook, The Vitamins in Medicine, 3rd edition by Bicknell and Prescott, reports that lowered local resistance to infection is the most important result from the changes that are brought about by a lack or a shortage of vitamin A. Bicknell and Prescott say this about vitamin D. They said, during the last century in England, cod liver oil was greatly prized for its value in tuberculosis, which has been amply confirmed, at least as regards vitamin D, in the testament of some forms of tuberculosis in recent years. This, added to the commonness of catarrhal infections in rickets and the clinical value of sunshine and ultraviolet light in improving the general condition of consumptive and convalescent patients, has led to a widely held belief that vitamin D increases the body's resistance to infections. But by far the most heralded vitamin believed to assist in fighting or preventing infection is called vitamin C. However, vitamin C, like all of the vitamins to varying degrees, has been surrounded by controversy since it was first identified in the 1930s. Part of the controversy lies in the fundamental question, what is a vitamin? Now, as far as medical science is concerned, vitamin C is nothing more than a chemical called ascorbic acid. But as long ago as the early 1940s, Dr. Royal Lee reported evidence that the anti-infection vitamin C complex is not just ascorbic acid, but rather that ascorbic acid is the protective preservative wrapper or shell or peeling of the vitamin C complex. Vitamin C was officially discovered in 1937 by the late Dr. Albert Sintz Georgi in America. Dr. Georgi who received the Nobel Prize for his vitamin C work, stated that with just isolated ascorbic acid, he had not found the active anti-scurvy factor of the C complex. Interesting observation, since ascorbic acid means anti-scurvy. In Latin, the letter A means anti, and scorbutic means scurvy. Ascorbic acid, therefore, is incorrectly named, but then I guess hammers don't make ham. Now, for one thing alone, ascorbic acid does not cure scurvy, which Dr. Georgi found rather strange, particularly since he'd won the Nobel Prize for it. With isolated ascorbic acid isolated from Hungarian red peppers, Dr. Georgi reported that he could not stop the capillary hemorrhaging so characteristic of scurvy that he could reliably influence with the impure batch of vitamin C-rich food from which the ascorbic acid had been isolated. That's why he went back to the laboratory and he discovered vitamin P. Vitamin P is the rutin factor of the C-complex vitamin, which, by the way, exists more in buckwheat, grain, and leaf than it does in citrus fruit. Now, Dr. Royal Lee used the term synergist to describe the functional independence or interdependence of biologically related nutrient factors. And he described a vitamin as being biological wheels within wheels, and it never functioned as a vitamin in a chemically isolated form. So in this sense, the rutin factor would be a synergist of the ascorbic acid and the vitamin C complex. Dr. Lee explained that the synergists of a whole C complex included the P factors for capillary and blood vessel wall strength, the J factors, which increased the oxygen carrying capacity of the blood, and an enzyme at the middle of the C complex called tyrosinase. And tyrosinase is an organic copper enzyme, and like all of the factors of the C complex, it is protected by the antioxidant ascorbic acid. Using just the preserving ascorbic acid without the rest of the C complex is like breaking into a bank, stealing the security guard, and leaving the money behind. Well, let me pause here for a moment and let's analyze what we've seen so far. Because here in America, Americans believe that, and honest to God believe that, there's no difference between a vitamin C derived from an organic source or a vitamin C derived from coal tar or an inorganic source. No, organic, separated from chemical, is simply a plant-derived vitamin. Think about it for a moment. Let's suppose that you have an iron deficiency. And so the doctor says to you, well, what you need here is an iron supplement. And he says to you, we'll sell you these iron supplement tablets here for $25. And you say, shucks, I don't need to spend $25 buying iron. Iron's as common as pig tracks in a barnyard. What I'll do is I'll take a nail and I'll just put it into the vise and then take a file and I will file on the nail and I will get some iron filings. I'll then take the iron filings, the little dust particles that come off of the nail, and I'll put those in a capsule and I'll take that capsule. Now there's an example of inorganic iron. Here's the problem with inorganic iron. It is true that you are taking a supplement of iron. No doubt about it. You may be taking in grams and grams and grams of iron, but it's not assimilable. It's not available to your body. Your body cannot assimilate iron in its inorganic form. So, take the same iron filings, though, and put it out here in the dirt, in the soil. And the microbial action, that's those 187,000 little microbes and all kinds of little critters that are working in the soil, coupled with millions and billions of bacteria, will go to work on that iron and dissolve it. And they'll dissolve it into a chemical iron, in a form that is water-soluble. Then, plant a plant like spinach. And the spinach now, using carbolic acid, will break down the iron along with the microbial action, taking the water-soluble chemical iron into the plant. The plant, the spinach in this case, with the action of the sun, called photosynthesis on the plant's leaves, will convert the inorganic iron into an organic iron in the plant. Now, you go eat that plant, and the iron that's available in the plant can now be absorbed by your body and will now alleviate or eliminate the anemia. That's the way the game is played. Now, what happened here was, and here's where science and technology comes in. If you want to isolate vitamin C and you want to go to Hungarian red peppers, it takes a lot of red peppers and it takes a lot of time, effort, and energy to synthesize this vitamin C, and it becomes expensive. It has a price attached to it. So naturally, some innovative entrepreneurial capitalist company, you know, like Merck or Pfizer or some drug company, or it could be some other enterprise, they come along and say, well, look, how could we take the chemical iron or the mineral iron and convert that into a capsule that we can sell and make a profit on? Once the vitamin C, the organic natural vitamin C, had been synthesized, put into a capsule, there was a price put on it. And so now the capitalist says, well, how do we compete with that price? Well, very simply. If we could synthetically produce the vitamin C chemically, and if we could do it for less money than the natural vitamin C, we could make the difference in what we call profit. And that's what they did. So they discovered that vitamin C is primarily made up of ascorbic acid. And they said, well, hell, we can make ascorbic acid by the gallon. And they did. But as we see here, ascorbic acid is like the peeling on a banana. It's a part of the banana. It's an important part of the banana. In fact, the peeling on the banana is just as important as the banana inside the peeling. And if you want to test it, just take the peeling. The next time you buy a bunch of bananas, bring the bananas home. And instead of leaving the bananas in the peeling on the counter, take the bananas out of the peeling and then throw the peeling away and leave the bananas on the counter. And then every day when you want a banana, just go over and pick up the banana. It's already peeled. Try that for 3 or 4 or 5 days and see how you like those bananas. And I think then you'll see how important that banana peel is to the banana and the preservation of it. But if we wanted to eat bananas, or if we wanted the potassium in the banana, would we then eat the banana peel? Would you then say, well, I can chemically reproduce banana peels, and then I can sell that cheaper than the banana? And no doubt you could. And if you could, you could probably make a lot of profit if you could convince people to take that banana peel in that form. And when you grind it up and it's dry, you stick it in a capsule and you hand it to a guy and say, hey, this is banana. Why don't you eat this banana? Now, that's what we do with breakfast cereals. First of all, we take the wheat. In this case, we'll take wheat. And then we denature it. We take all of the vitamins and minerals out of it by dividing it up. We call this the milling process. And so we take the starch, which is what we want in the milling process, so we can make white flour. And then we take the white flour and we make Wheaties. Now, the Wheaties made from this white flour have no nutritional value, or next to none. Then we take all of the vitamins and minerals that came off of the hull, the outside of the wheat, and we grind that up and feed it to our livestock. I mean, after all, we wouldn't want our livestock to starve, would we? Now, it was discovered that when we used this denatured flour that we didn't get enough nutrients, and so somebody in Congress woke up one day and said, what we need is vitamin-enriched flour. So they started taking some vitamins and putting the vitamins back into the flour. But now, vitamins in their natural organic form cost a lot of money. And so, naturally, some capitalists came along and said, well, we can manufacture chemically these vitamins and these minerals. And so that's what they've done. So they take about 2 cents worth of vitamins and minerals that they manufacture chemically in a factory. And then they spray it on to the Wheaties. And then they call it Total. And when they sell a box of Total, it says it has 100% of your vitamin C, 100% of your vitamin D, 100% of your vitamin A, 100% of the daily requirements that the normal person has is contained in that bowl of Total. Now, we go to Madison Avenue and we say, give us some advertising copy. So some bright, enterprising young fellow says, well, would you rather eat 30 bowls of Kellogg's Pep or 1 bowl of Total? Well, you know, you don't have to be real bright to figure out that, hell, I don't want to eat 30 bowls of Kellogg's Wheaties or Total or something else, and this denatured product in place of 1 bowl of Total, because I could eat 1 bowl, cost me 35 cents, or I got to eat 30 bowls, it cost me, you know, $12. You know, just common sense says, well, I don't think I've got enough room in my tummy for 30 bowls of this other breakfast cereal. It makes all the sense in the world to buy Total, doesn't it? All right. Now, here's the problem with the total. They're not lying to you when it says that it contains 100% of this or that vitamin. What they're not telling you is that the vitamin is in a chemical form and that it's unavailable to your body. So you could eat 30 bowls of total and you still won't get the vitamins and minerals that you need. And that's why you're fat and that's why you're starving to death. That's why you have disease. They do that with milk. Milk is full of calcium. And so they advertise that. They say, look at this milk. It's full of calcium. They're not lying to you. They're telling you the truth. It's full of calcium. The calcium is unavailable because in the design mechanism between man and cow, man and milk, you have to have an enzyme in order to digest the milk to get the calcium out to make it available to your body. So we pasteurize the milk. By pasteurizing the milk, we kill the enzyme. Without the enzyme, you cannot digest the milk. And without digesting the milk, you become lactose intolerant. You develop allergies and hay fever or something else. Or you become lactose intolerant and you get sick, or you have a reaction when you drink milk or eat dairy products. All right, now, isn't science and chemistry wonderful? And that's why this book called Empty Harvest was written. It was written to give us some instruction so that we could avoid the nutritional deficiencies of the chemically produced food. Now, this box of total, you know, it's a profit-making enterprise. They take 2 cents worth of vitamins and minerals and spread on the total, and then they sell the total for about 65 cents more than they sell the Wheaties. And it works like a shot. It's highly profitable, which is, after all, the purpose behind manufacturing total and Wheaties and having corporations like General Mills and Kellogg's. General Mills and Kellogg's corporations do not exist for the purposes of bringing health and nutrition to the people of America. The Food and Drug Administration does not exist to promote health and nutrition among the people of America. These institutions exist for the benefit of stockholders and business interests who make profit off of the products that are sold by these corporations. It's nothing personal, but then it's nothing nutritional either. And eating a box of Kellogg's cornflakes has absolutely nothing to do with health and nutrition. It has to do with profit and gain. Nothing more and nothing less. It's just like selling you a Harley-Davidson motorcycle or a Ford Pinto automobile. The purpose behind the sale of the automobile and the motorcycle is profit. If you were to receive some nutritional benefit by eating the handle grips off of the Harley-Davidson handlebars, gave you some nutritional value, that would be an added side effect. But the purpose for selling the Harley-Davidson motorcycle has nothing to do with health and nutrition. It doesn't even have anything to do with transportation, per se. The people that sell you the motorcycle don't care whether you ride it, or you store it, or you eat it, or you sell it, or you just put it away someplace and then save it. It's irrelevant to them. All right, now with that in mind, ascorbic acid does not effectively cure or prevent scurvy. That's pretty important, boys and girls, because ascorbic acid, even by itself, is a chemically derived vitamin. They call it vitamin C. Well, it is. There's no doubt about it. Ascorbic acid is, in fact, vitamin C. It is one of the ingredients in vitamin C. It's not the whole ingredient, though. It's like buying Sioux Bee honey. Sioux Bee honey is 100% pure honey. They're not lying to you. You see, when you go into the grocery store and you buy this little bear and it's got this honey in it, this amber-looking, neat-looking stuff, you know, that tastes as sweet and you love to put it on your hotcakes. It says 100% pure Sioux Bee honey. They're not lying to you. They're telling you the gospel truth. 51% of the contents in that package is honey. 49% of it is corn syrup. And by law, it is 100% Sioux Bee honey. It isn't 100% honey. It's 100% pure Sioux Bee honey. Very important distinction. Now, the purpose behind advertising is to lie to you by telling you the truth. You know, Satan did that in the Garden of Eden. He had a little story he told to Eve. And he said to Eve, he said, "Has God told you not to eat off that tree?" And she said, yep, he told us not to eat off that tree. And he said, "In the day that you eat off of that tree, you will surely die." Now, Satan contradicted God, and he said, no, that's not true. God lied to you, Eve. Listen to me. God lied to you. "In the day that you eat off of that tree, you will not surely die. And if you want to test it, let's be scientific. Eat one of those fruits, and then let's see whether you die." So Eve went over. She pulls the fruit off, and she eats it. And she did not die in that day. Now let's ask this question this way. Is Eve alive today in 2007? And if so, where is she? You see, Eve did die, and when God said to her, "In the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die," like a joke, like a simile, it has a dual meaning. It can mean on June 13th, in that day, June 13th, when you eat off that tree, you will die on June 13th. Or it could mean in the day, June 13th, that you eat off of that tree, you will set in motion, this is parenthetically inserted, you will set in motion a series of events that will ultimately end in your death. So when God said, "In the day that you eat off that tree, you will surely die," he meant, parenthetically, you will set into motion a series of events, and that in a period of time you will die. Satan came along, contradicted him, and said, "In the day," that is on the day, June 13th, "when you eat off that tree, you will not die." Satan told the truth. So did God. Both of them were telling the truth. Eve was deceived because she did not understand the dual meaning between those two statements. Now let's take that to vitamin C. So when the scientist comes along, you know, the chemist, and he says, "This is vitamin C," he's not lying to you. Ascorbic acid is vitamin C. What he isn't telling you is that it is not the whole C complex, because C is made up of a number of ingredients. It's made up of vitamin P and rutin, and it's made up of ascorbic acid and three or four of the little thingies in here that you have to have in order to have the vitamin C, which will cure scurvy. But if you have scurvy and you take the chemical ascorbic acid, it will not cure the scurvy. But if you have scurvy and you take the compound vitamin C, it will cure the scurvy. Now, this is why the pharmaceutical industry exists. It is there to deceive you. It's there to make profit and gain off of a deception. They're telling you the truth. They're not lying to you. Just like the Sioux Bee people. They're not lying to you. They went to the legislature, and they got the legislature to enact a statute. And the statute says that if the honey contains 51% honey and 49% corn syrup, you can call it pure Sioux Bee honey. And they do. And it's adulterated, and it is not pure honey. But it is certainly pure Sioux Bee honey. How do you like that? So it's got a brand name, and that brand name, like Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, has a value in the marketing and merchandising of the product. Same thing is true with pharmaceuticals. Unfortunately, out here in the real world, you know, you need vitamin C to cure the scurvy, or to, better yet, prevent the scurvy. So if you have plenty of vitamin C in your diet, you'll never get scurvy. If you get scurvy and you take vitamin C, the scurvy will go away. the drug company can't make any money off of people that don't get scurvy by eating enough foods that have vitamin C in it. You can't make money off of peace. You make money off of war. You can't make money off of good health. You make money off of sickness and disease. That's the bottom line. Hang on. Let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And if you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed to the webpage as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on The Law Hour are hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember, our website is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Empty Harvest, the book written by Dr. Bernard Jensen and Mark Anderson. Simple paperback, 167 pages, but it's a dynamite book. I've only read one other book that hits this subject matter connecting the soil with disease, and that's called Plowman's Folly, written back in 1943 by Lee Faulkner. Now, not very many people are interested in the connecting link between soil, health, and disease, vitamins and minerals such as artificial or chemical vitamins or minerals versus the organic vitamins and minerals. But this book does, and for that reason, it's about a 1 in 100 read. You'll read 100 books, and you'll read 99 of them in vain before you'll find another book like this. That's why I think that for the $14, it's dirt cheap. $14. Now, going on, ascorbic acid does not effectively cure or prevent scurvy without its synergists. And this is what Dr. Georgie found out, and interestingly, the nickname of the British people, Limeys, originates from their sailors' practice of eating limes, currants, and other fresh fruit as well as raw potatoes, all of which are high in vitamin C complex. Now notice the raw potatoes. Raw potatoes. Let me explain that. If you've ever eaten a raw potato, I mean it's a gag a maggot. It's just god-awful terrible, at least in my view. The reason that you have to eat the potato raw to get the vitamin C is that by the time you cook the potato, you kill or destroy the vitamin C. And that's why cancer is called the cooked food disease. And one of the cures to cancer is to get off of cooked foods and eat all raw foods. My wife did that back in 1978, which is the reason why we have this greenhouse on the house here. And for 2 years and 8 months, she ate wheatgrass and all raw foods. And in 2 years and 8 months, she cured the cancer. Cancer is a metabolic disease. It's a condition that your body develops like scurvy, which is caused by nutritional deficiencies. And if you'll feed your body, your immune system will come in there and throw the cancer out. I mean, it's just that simple. It's no big mystery. That's just one of 10 cures to cancer, by the way. Now, all high in vitamin C complex. Now, these raw potatoes are high in vitamin C complex to prevent scurvy. However, when the ascorbic acid portion of the vitamin C complex is found within nature, it functions as an antioxidant, preserving the vitamin C complex, preventing oxidation. So by analogy, I recently heard a lecturer complain that his country of Nepal does not want tourists, but his country does need tourists' money. The tourists transport the money. As a result, he said, there are three main religions in Nepal now: Hinduism, Buddhism, and tourism. The tourist is the protective carrier of the money. He comes into the country and drops off the money. That's how a preservative, an antioxidant, carries, protects, and drops off the actual vitamin, the nutrient, into the body. But from a commercial standpoint, the idea of synergists is not so desirable. By reducing a vitamin complex to a single chemical, chemists can claim to duplicate it in the laboratory and easily mass produce it and sell it as an additive to food or a pill. This would not be possible if they were charged with keeping all of the synergistic components intact. As such, vitamins are given single chemical names and single chemical structures for the purposes of selling synthetic vitamins. So when you have found the shed skin of a snake, you have not found the snake. This issue remains a thorn in the side of the synthetic vitamin producers. Lending credibility to the vitamin complex theory is current research of C. Reginald Roger, chairman of biochemistry at the Conservatory National d'Arts et Matières in Paris, writing in the prestigious Swiss Science Journal. In September of 1988, Roger calls for a flavonoid classification of vitamin C2, a second anti-scurvy factor, which is sometimes referred to as vitamin P. He reports that synthetic ascorbic acid fails as a reliable anti-scurvy agent because it does not contain the synergistic flavonoids found with ascorbic acid in foods. All right, so now let's run over that one more time. The importance of having vitamin C in its natural organic form is like the difference between finding a snake skin and finding the snake. The ascorbic acid is, in fact, vitamin C as a matter of law. It is called vitamin C, but it's not the whole story. It's an important part of the story, but it's not the whole vitamin. And so when you buy these vitamins and they're chemically derived, then you're not getting the whole vitamin. You're not getting everything that you need, not everything that you think you're paying for. It's cheaper. It has more profit in it. But it's not got the health-giving qualities that you need. Now, Dr. Richard Schultz, he was a student of Dr. Christopher. Christopher was probably the greatest herbalist of our time, maybe in history.
He certainly had the reputation and the business to go with it. Christopher's dead now, but Schultz was one of his students. Christopher was emphatic about having natural vitamins and minerals. Well, Schultz, not too long ago, wrote a piece, and he said that he does not buy his herbs from China or India any longer, and that's because of the potency factor. They're impotent. So, he answered the question as to why, and he said, well, what they're doing now, they can produce herbs in China and India much cheaper than they can in the United States, but they don't have any standards. And so they grow them on chemical fertilizers and pesticides. And he said, number one, the pesticide on the herb introduces a toxin into the herbal remedy. So at the same time you're taking the cure for a disease, you're taking a toxic poison at the same time. He said, that's no good. He said, secondly, these herbs that are being grown on chemicals do not have the potency that we need in order to cure disease. Now, let me give you an illustration. You go out here and you buy spinach, and you know that spinach is high in calcium. It's high in iron. It's got these various nutrients in it. You know that because you read it somewhere. So you read it in the Reader's Digest or something. Listen, there's a weed out here. We call it pig weed here. It's actually known as lamb's quarter also. It has three times as much calcium in it as does spinach. Three times as much. And it's just a weed. Not necessarily a noxious weed, but just a weed. And you can go out here and you can pull the leaves off of it. It grows free, and you can bring it in the house, and you can eat spinach that you buy out of the supermarket. Or you can eat pigweed and get three times as much calcium. Now, you know, the choice is up to you. So here on the farm, what we do is we go out and we eat pigweed, you know, when it's in season. We don't buy spinach. That's because it's got more of the active ingredient that we're looking for, which is called calcium. And the same thing ought to be true, you know, if you're going to buy vitamins and minerals. Wouldn't you want to get the most for your money? So the next time you're out here, you know, buying vitamin C, you want to ask the question, is it chemically derived, which has little or no nutritional value, or is it organically derived, which has all of the nutritional value that I'm looking for and that I want to pay for? Now, the body doesn't want ascorbic acid per se. It wants the C complex being preserved by the ascorbic acid. 1940, Dr. Lee said that the vitamin C complex is the armor of the lymphocytes. Now, a lymphocyte unarmed with the C complex will fail in its function. It'll be impotent. It won't be able to attack and destroy infectious organisms. In laboratories, they're currently taking T lymphocytes out of the body, trying to supercharge them in test tubes, and then put them back into the body. Well, isn't that just real special? Well, no, it isn't. It's rather a boring waste of research money, and it's an insult to nature. Lymphocytic potency appears to be related to copper, the trace mineral at the core of the tyrosinase enzyme. What happens with tyrosinase is very interesting. And Dr. Lee taught that if you want to know the most active factor of the C complex, it is organic copper functioning as the tyrosinase enzyme. And there is a medical research report on AIDS stating researchers have found a strange relationship between copper deficiency and ineffective lymphocytes. All right, let's pause right here. AIDS now is an immune deficiency disorder. Now, what are we going to do? We spend $100,000 a year treating these people with the AIDS retrovirus cocktail, they call it. They have this cocktail of chemicals. And it keeps these people alive for about 5 years. Well, okay. Then, chemically, we can extend your life for 5 years and make life more meaningful and better for you. Now, the ultimate end is you're going to die, but you're going to die 5 years older than you will if you don't have this $100,000 a year cocktail. Or we could give you organic vitamin C with the organic trace element copper and accomplish the same thing, and you might live to be 80 or 90. I mean, it's just a thought. I mean, I don't want to get in the way of you and your happiness, your success, and the profits of the pharmaceutical industry, but I thought I'd share with you that if you have an immune deficiency, it would seem like to me that you need to strengthen your immune system. And so now we take a look at people with AIDS and we say, gee, they got this copper deficiency. Now, infectious disease, whether it's caused by a bacteria or a virus, can be brought under control with vitamin C. A fellow by the name of Linus Pauling, who was involved in nuclear weapons, as I recall. But he was a very famous scientist, very, very famous, like kind of like Dr. Edward Teller, you know, the father of the hydrogen bomb, you know. And people, you know, they invent something, they win a Nobel Prize, and Pauling won this Nobel Prize. I don't think it was for vitamin C, I think it was for something else. And make a long story short, Pauling, in his later years, got off on this vitamin C thing, and God, they just made fun of him, and they ridiculed him, and they just tore him up. But he lived to be pretty old, I don't know, 85, 90 years old, and he was a strong advocate of vitamin C. And he discovered that he could take vitamin C and he wouldn't get colds and flu. I discovered the same thing. See, I've still got my tonsils, and I get this little soreness beginning in my throat. And that's the swelling of the tonsil. As soon as I feel that, I know that, hey, wait a minute, your body is toxic. And it's about to go into a cold or flu mode and throw off these toxins. So I immediately stop eating. I fast. Drink plenty of liquids, that is, water. And then I take lots of vitamin C, A, and a couple of more. And then the feeling goes away in about a day, and then I'm back on the road to health, and my body detoxifies naturally, and I avoid colds and flu, which is the natural response to a toxic body, toxic condition. Well, when they found these lymphocytes that would not kill a pathogenic organism in AIDS victims, it was discovered that they had no copper in them. Perhaps it wasn't the copper uncombined that was lacking. What was lacking was the entire C-complex vitamin, which contains copper and is normally found on the lymphocyte. Researchers would not find vitamin C-complex on the lymphocyte because all they could recognize as being vitamin C would be ascorbic acid. Once in the body, however, the body sheds the ascorbic acid, the preservative wrapper, the banana peel, the way you shed the peel of an orange or a banana. And it takes the rest of the C-complex, and then it places it as the lance of the lymphocyte and kills bacteria and viruses with it. Now, ascorbic acid hasn't anything to do with it except that it's a natural protective factor of the C-complex. Researchers are just now finding that without copper, there will be no effective lymphocyte activity. Dr. Lee would be very glad to know about his latest finding. Unfortunately, he would have had to wait until 1987 to see what he had already discovered back in the early 1940s, proved again by the latest research. There are too many instances like that. That's what I mean when I say, let's not wait for the new research to prove what we already know. Now, talking about what we already know, I think it's vitamin B6, if I remember right, B1 or B6, that cures enlarged heart. Now, I had a student here one time. He was a little overweight. Shucks, he's just plain fat. He's a little more than a little overweight. He's a pretty chunky guy. And he had an enlarged heart. Went to the doctor, and they said, you got this enlarged heart. So I shared this little piece of information with him. I said, did you know that enlarged heart is caused by a B vitamin deficiency? And that this B vitamin deficiency has been used clear back in the late 1930s and early 40s. Been around for a long time to cure this enlarged heart. And so Don was his name. Don, he listened to me. He listened. He didn't take B vitamins. He lived on lunch meat and white bread. You know, Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. You ever heard that? Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways. But when Wonder Bread is fed to rats, they die in about 6 weeks. Why don't you test it? Go down to the pet store. Just go down to the pet store. And buy yourself two rats. And bring them home, put them in two boxes. Then go to the store and just buy Wonder Bread and feed it to one rat. And then feed whole wheat bread. You know, some good, you know, like Ezekiel 4:12 or 9:16 or 22:14 bread, whatever they call it. Feed it to the other rat and see which one lives the longest. Test it yourself. Be kind of scientific. And you'll see that the white rat eating the white bread in about 6 weeks will die. And then the other rat, he'll just continue living and he'll just be fine. Give him a little water with the bread. In 1939, the same year that Dr. Price published Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, the USDA released a report summarizing some startling revelations on nutritional research to date. The government data on vitamin C was pointing to an unambiguous link between vitamin C and the front line of infection and infection resistance in the blood. Dr. Lee's assertions about vitamin C appear well-founded, according to the U.S. government treatise. In the USDA publication, Food and Life, pages 238 and 239, the following refers specifically to vitamin C. It says, at first it was thought that the vitamin was destroyed by the organisms producing the infection, but there is now some evidence that it actually plays a part in combating the infection because it's necessary for the proper functioning of the blood serum complement T lymphocyte, a substance in the bloodstream that acts as the first line of defense against invasion by harmful agents. Isn't that just special? All right, so here again, Dr. Pauling's research in vitamin C. The difference between inorganic and organic vitamins and minerals. I mean, you know, you can buy the inorganic coal tar vitamins if you so desire. But then, when it doesn't work, remember what I told you. Remember what we saw here from Dr. Jensen and Empty Harvest. Then, try the other. Go to the 100% organic, non-chemical vitamin C, or vitamins that you're taking, and see if there's a difference. I think you'll see quite a little difference there. That's what the researchers are noting here. This is what nobody in the chemical vitamin business wants you to know. Who in the hell would buy the chemical vitamins if they don't work? So, you know, just make up your own mind. Decide for yourself what do you think is best for you. What do you get the most bang for the buck for? Now, it has recently been shown in guinea pigs that the blood serum complement loses its normal activity in the absence of vitamin C. In human beings, too, blood analysis have shown that a high content of vitamin C is accompanied by a high content of blood serum complement, and vice versa. So the USDA report also pointed out that long-term subclinical deficiency of vitamin C would fail to produce the overt recognizable symptoms of scurvy, possibly leading to an infectious condition harder to treat. What may be more serious, the blood system may be weakened to the point where it can no longer resist or fight infections, not so easily cured as scurvy. So you might get something a whole lot worse than scurvy. The USDA report in 1939 would seem to trumpet in an epoch of unparalleled opportunities and insights into the biochemical nature of health and the bane of human existence, infectious diseases. But the very next year, 1940, Howard Florey developed the first practical application of the new wonder drug, penicillin. And the age of antibiotics was upon us, and one may ponder whether the wonder was a reference to the colossal sums of money earned by the producers of these antibiotics. Hey, think about it. If you're a discoverer of a drug called penicillin, do you want to run around telling people, hey, listen, take a lot of vitamin C and you won't get sick and you won't need the penicillin? Or would you want to debase, like Dr. Nelson, you know, of the FDA did back in the 1940s and early 50s, and say, listen, there's no connecting link between nutrition and disease? Because that's the mantra that is being sold to us by the American Medical Association. It's being sold to us by the pharmaceuticals and by the FDA and by our Congress. They tell us, hey, listen, now these nutrients, they don't mean jack diddly squat. And you know, disease just comes upon you. You're walking down the street and you're just unlucky. You're inhaling and you suck in a bug and there it is. You got a disease. Now that's what we're being told, and the solution to that is a drug, a patentable drug that we can sell over the counter and make profit and gain. Then there's another paradigm over here, that disease is caused by nutritional deficiencies or toxins. You're either being poisoned or you're being starved. And, you know, you can test this for yourself. Now, most of you people don't have tonsils and adenoids, so your immune system's first line of defense has been removed. It's gone. Now, you can overcome that to a degree. You'll never overcome it totally, but you can overcome it to a degree. Because you've still got your thymus, and you've still got your lymph nodes, and you've still got other body organs, you know, maybe your appendix. Now, your appendix is a part of your immune system, too. And they tell us, well, that's one of those vestigial organs that you don't need anymore. We just cut it out. Tonsils, adenoids, appendix, gallbladder, you know. Those are things you don't need. You can live without. And it's true. You can live without them, but you cannot live as well without them. And I like to be able to answer when people ask me, how do you live? I tell them, I live very well. Thank you. All right, so there's the importance then of the natural versus the artificial or the chemical vitamins. Hey, we're about out of time, so I got to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review and sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.